From Radio Deutsche Welle, it's Melody Time. We invite you to join us for half an hour of light classical music. Hello, I'm Diane Erickson, and welcome to the program. Just for a change, how about a piece of music that has not enjoyed great success? It's the overture to an operetta by Oskar Strauss, titled Die lustigen Nibelungen, The Merry Nibelungs. Rather strange title, considering that in German folklore, Nibelungs are grim dwarfs who hoard their treasure in Nibelheim, the realm of mist. And those who are familiar with Richard Wagner's works will know that these creatures are anything but merry. Well, this Oskar Strauss operetta is a sharp-witted political satire, and that's why it fell upon dry times in Germany, before the First World War, and even more so in the Nazi era, when it was considered something of a sacrilege to poke fun at German myths and culture. And that, incidentally, was also a time when they took their Wagner very seriously. Die lustigen Nibelungen was totally boycotted, and it disappeared into the archives. Nowadays, the only ones we really laugh at are the oversensitive critics of the past. It's long since time for the Merry Nibelungs to make their comeback.
Thank you.
The Cologne Radio Orchestra under the baton of Siegfried Köhler opening today's Melody Time with the overture to Oskar Strauss's early operetta Die lustigen Nibelungen. Despite getting off to a rocky start with the Merry Nibelungs, Strauss quickly established a reputation for himself far beyond Vienna, his hometown, where he was considered one of the new composers, an initiator of the so-called silver era of operetta. After the golden days of Strauss, Mölliker, and Suppé, operetta had been pronounced dead and buried. It rose again, however, like the phoenix from the ashes, and crowned itself with glory. Lehár and Strauss gave the art form new vigor, and fresh signs of life started to emerge from Berlin as well. The Prussian leading lights were the composers Linke, Kolo, and Königke. They threw out the gently undulating Viennese 3/4 time and replaced it with their own dashing Berlin marching rhythms. From that point on, there was no holding operetta back. All the new dance music of the early part of our century was taken on board. The tango, the foxtrot, the rumba, the dubstep, the slow waltz, you name it, operetta embraced it. Here, for example, is the finale to Königke's operetta Die lockende Flamme in a catchy passo-doble rhythm. And if you don't know what that is, just think of a bullfight, as this dance form in 6/8 meter is based on the spirited music played during the passes the bullfighter makes just before the kill.
Und aus der Ferne ertönt voll der Liebesang, da ist die Gitarre begleitet in den Duftbar.
Und nicht ein Windhauch bewegt Flur und Hain, nur eine Barke naht heimlich dem Gestade.
Lockende Zikade, nicht weg in die
Königke's lyric drama Die lockende Flamme, The Alluring Flame, performed there with Peter Falk conducting the Cologne Radio Choir and Orchestra, along with soloists Birgit van Drey, Zoran Todorovic, Jürgen Zacher, and Ralph Lucas. Die Lockende Flamme tells of the friendship between writer-composer E.T.A. Hoffmann and the actor Ludwig de Vrion, and how the two men nearly came to blows over one Dolores, a fictional woman, and the alluring flame of the title. E.T.A. Hoffmann was obviously a fairly scintillating character, as this isn't the only work for music theater based on him. The most famous example is the opera Tales of Hoffmann. This last work of Jacques Offenbach is a far cry from Orpheus in the Underworld. It was with Orpheus, an opera parody, that Offenbach, the Cologne-born master of the light muse, conquered the Paris public. Finale to Jacques Offenbach's operetta, Orpheus in the Underworld. Antonia de Almeida conducted the London Philharmonia Orchestra. Around the time that Napoleon III was enjoying Offenbach's amusing production, his wife Eugenie was taking piano lessons from Emil Waldteufel. The pianist and dance musician Waldteufel had found his way into Parisian high society, giving lessons to the Empress and other ladies of note, and performing with his orchestra at court balls and other imperial festivities. In the autumn of each year, Napoleon and Eugenie hosted informal get-togethers at their country seat in Compiègne with dances, games, and amateur dramatics, for which Waldteufel often had the honor of serving as musical director. He had the Marquis Philippe de Massat to thank for the privilege. The Marquis was in charge of such diversions. In gratitude, Waldteufel dedicated this polka to the Marquis. The title is L'Esprit Français. L'Esprit Français, a polka by Emil Waldteufel, played there by the Czechoslovak State Philharmonic Orchestra. The conductor was Alfred Walter. Today we started the program with an almost unknown composition. So let's now bring it to a close with the waltz of the Strauss waltzes, the Blue Danube waltz. In German, An der schönen blauen Donau. In 1867, the Prince of Wales, later to become King Edward VII, heard the waltz at the Paris World Fair and was so impressed that he invited Strauss to give a performance in London. There, as in Paris, the music had a jubilant reception. At the premiere performance in Vienna, the waltz had gone down well enough, no more than that. But once reports of its rapturous reception abroad started filtering back, the Viennese began to think that this must be more than just an average piece. At first, an attempt was made to scrap the words sung by the choir in order to make it more international. But the Vienna Men's Choir, for whom the work had been written, was having none of that. Eventually, the old text from 1867 was discarded, and in 1890 a new one provided, thereby securing lasting popularity. We'll hear it now, sung with great authenticity by today's Vienna Men's Choir, accompanied by the Czechoslovak Radio Symphony Orchestra, under the baton of Johannes Fildner. We conclude our program for today. Barbara Ander selected the music and provided the background for today's Melody Time. Produced in the studios of Deutsche Welle in Cologne by Rick Volker and with help from Michael Neubert. I'm Diane Erickson. Till next time, thanks for listening and join us again.